I want to think on some words from the wise man of old today, from the book of Ecclesiastes. And he said in chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. If you read the chapter, he goes on to list all these various times. A time to tear down, a time to build up, on and on. If you read the chapter, and I suppose most of you are familiar with it. I found this photo, and it's never quite as good up on the screen as this computer, but you kind of got the four seasons and the idea of there's a time for those things that happen within the seasons. What time is it? Josh, what time is it? Don't be afraid. What time you got? You don't know? Clock says it's 10:50. Do you know that's not what time it is, don't you? What time is it in Wheeler on June the 4th, 2017? When we talk about the time, we talk about a point in life that we're at. A point in life where there's things that change and responsibilities change. Sometimes the easiest way to determine what time it is to determine what time it's not. So I can tell you one time it's not is 10 years ago. It's not 2007 any longer. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? And you look back and you think on those days, this building wasn't here then. A lot of this congregation was in other places. Some of these children weren't even born that are here today. And so a lot of things have changed. And it's just not 10 years ago. And even if it was, well, that'd be a different time then, wouldn't it? It's not 10 years ago, not at all. And the truth is, you can't go back and change your past anyway. If you wanted to, you couldn't go back and do that. I'm going to have a problem. Another time it is not. It's not 10 years from now. It's not 2027. I wonder what it will be like in 10 years. You think you'll have a car without a steering wheel? I hope so. Some of these young guys will have a car. Travis, you'll have a car, maybe be driving. Maybe Zane will be married. Maybe not. We don't know, do we? 10 years. A whole decade of time. You and I, we cannot know the future. Okay, so it's not 10 years from now, and really there's not a lot we can do about the future. We can't know what's going to be in the future. We can't know what's going to happen. In the book of Mark chapter 13, beginning of verse 32, he says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." He says, "Take heed, ye watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." We really don't know the things that are going to happen. We could prepare in some way. We can't be ready for 10 years. We can just watch and pray, as he said. You know, hard times may come. I hope not. But you know, difficult times may come. They may come for you in your life. I suppose more likely than not, there probably will be hard times in the next 10 years. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." He talked to them about a time that was coming that was going to be difficult because people wasn't going to listen to the doctrine of truth. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, it's one of my favorite verses. He says, "If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" And the idea is if you were a soldier and you've been in the struggle with just infantry, then what are you going to do when the horses show up? And he goes on to say, if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? The Jordan River was very prone to flooding. And if you look at the map and the topography, the way that river runs down the valley there, it was very prone to do that, and especially in the time of the year that was typically harvest. And a lot of times when those rains would come, it would just flood that river bottom, and what really happened most of the time was there were a lot of animals displaced out of those brushy country in the river bottoms. And from what I've read, the problem was there were a lot of lions. You know, we read about a lot of lions throughout time. We read about David killing a lion. Those lions would get flooded out and they'd just spread out into the country. And they'd start wreaking havoc on all the people. If you're tired in the land of peace, how's it going to be when all the lions come? If you're having a hard time in your life today when things are good, how's it going to be when the strife comes in your life? How will it be when the trouble comes in your life? What if the times get hard? Are you ready for that? They may come. I don't know. Maybe good times will come. I guess that's just as likely. Maybe times will get better. We might say, well, maybe the economy will improve. Maybe things will go well with our children. Maybe our jobs will get better. Maybe we'll get promoted. Maybe the church will grow in other ways. Maybe life will improve. And maybe good times will come. In the book of Genesis chapter 41, verse 28, he said, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there cometh 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt. That's good news, wasn't it? Man, 7 good years. Because I don't want to read the bad news. There were 7 bad years coming after that. But the good news was 7 years of good. We don't know. And I don't know what to come will come to pass, and you don't either. What likely will change? We can't know. But what likely will change? He says, in verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to be born, a time to die. I didn't choose what time I would be born. There's not a person here who made that decision for their self. And the truth is, very few of us will choose the time at which we die. But those two things probably will continue unless the Lord returns. Little babies are going to keep being born, and other folks are going to die. That will likely change. It happens every day. So I want to ask you a few questions. Will you be here? You expect to be here, I suppose. Or will you be here? I don't know. See all these people? If you're not up there, you may be glad. You may feel I didn't choose. I raided Facebook this morning. I got all these pictures. What's going to happen in the future? What will likely happen as time goes along? Things are going to change. Most likely. And we don't like it, maybe. I don't have pictures of the little babies that I could probably come along and put in here. But you know, things are going to change. And time's going to change a lot. These young kids that grow up probably going to go off to college and off to school somewhere. But I'm going to tell you, 10 years or 20 years is going to change what we see here and what we know here. Who do you think will be next? It's hard to know, isn't it? Who will be left? Who will be here? Does that get your attention? You know, it kind of does mine. Because really in 10 years, there's some people who may be gone that I think we need. I want to go back to that first picture. Let's just have everybody here. But you know, it doesn't work that way, does it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're not dead yet. You're not. And I don't know about the past, and I don't know about the future, but what I do know about is today. That I know about. And the truth is, you know about that too. And you have some time. I don't know how long that may be, but you have some time. And I want to talk about that time for just a little while. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, he says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." The fact is, and the idea is, that you should live the rest of your time to the will of God. You could give the rest of what you have, ever how long it is, you could use that time for the will of God, for the benefit of God, instead of living a life that doesn't have anything to do with God at all. You can be wise with what you have, and what you have is today. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, continuing on in verse 2, there's a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. My grandpa built all these barns on the place where I live. They've been there for years and years. And he used to have this saying, "It'll last as long as I." And he was right. Most of them lasted. A few of them started falling down. And a couple of weeks ago, I started breaking those other ones down. And Kendall come by and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Tearing down these barns." He said, "You're tearing down the landmarks." I said, "Well, I'm going to build some new landmarks." There's a time to break down. There's a time to build. I'm going to build some new barns. It's just time. A lot of memories tied up in the other ones. Dad probably more than me. I never did milk cows in those barns. I'm thankful. There's a time to be wise with what we have. And I want to submit to you that today is a time to build up. That's what time it is. It's wonderful to see how many people's here today. That doesn't mean it's time to just coast. It doesn't mean it's time to relax. That tells me it's time to build up. It's time to work. It's time to strive for what time is ahead in the better times. I like how this was worded in the ESV. I'm not a huge ESV fan, but I kind of like how this was worded. Ephesians 5:16, he says, "Making the best use of the time." Do you do that? Do you make the best use of your time? Well, I couldn't say I do that. Usually the way my days go and my weeks is by Friday or Saturday, I'm kind of running frantic because I've wasted some time earlier in the week. And I look down and I go, "Man, I've got to get this and this and this done." He encourages us to make the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are naturally evil. And we got to be proactive in the building up and the doing as we should. In James chapter 4 verse 13, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicings is evil. Therefore the him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He says, go, you that say, today or tomorrow. And I want to tell you, if you're a little younger, here's the problem. You're liable to say in your mind, you're liable to think, well, today or tomorrow, I'll get busy and I'll really start studying the scriptures. Today or tomorrow, I'll make sure I go to church every Sunday. Today or tomorrow, I'll go talk to my friend that's lost. That's the wrong attitude. In fact, he describes it as a boastful attitude. And the reason he describes it that way is because you assume you have tomorrow. You do not. You do not. You don't have any tomorrows any more than you have any yesterdays. What you have is today. You have today. And if you're going to do anything, you're not going to do it tomorrow. You're going to do it today. If you're going to study God's Word, you're going to have to do it today. If you're going to teach your children, it's going to have to be today. If you're going to go and worship the Lord, can't happen tomorrow. It can't happen yesterday. It has to happen today. That's what we have. That's what we have. He says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I've used to call this the shotgun verse. It'll just shoot anybody. When you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. I'll tell you, that catches everybody here. And the idea is you should do what you know is right. Make wise use of your time. The days are evil. The days are evil. He said in Psalms 90, verse 12, the wise man says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Who's the oldest person here? It's a pretty tight race. Nona's not here. She'd be ahead, wouldn't she? She'd win. Who's the youngest person here? How old's the youngest person here? I don't know. I know I'm 46. That's what I know. I don't know. Amy's a little older. Not much. Clint's a little older than her. That's okay. We all know how old we are. He says we should number our days because it helps us to apply our hearts to wisdom. We got to understand what we need to do and what's important. And there's a time in our lives that we really need to hunker down and work hard and study God's Word and grow. There's a time that comes in your life when you're a parent and you got to lay aside some other things and spend time and teach your kids. Because I'm going to tell you, they'll be grown up and gone. Times change in our life. He says, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. It's time to build up. Then we need to commit time. We need to commit effort. We should commit strength to the Lord. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a day coming when our strength will fail. There's a day coming when the eyes will grow dim. Or the Lord will just return. He says, work today. Use your strength today for the church. What will win the battle for your church? More time, more effort. Whatever gets more time and more effort will win. Whatever gets more time and effort in your life will win. It only takes a grain of sand to tip the scale. And so if you apply more time to the world, to your work, or to hobby, then that's what'll win. So the question is, will you be the one who tips the scales? Brother Jim and I have been really enjoying traveling together. We've gone to 4 or 5 different congregations. And when we're traveling along on the road, I'll say, what do you think of that congregation? And the first one we went to, he said, man, they got it all together. I said, they really do. They got 8 elders, 10 deacons. Man, they got it together. We go to another one, what do you think about that? He said, well, that's a pretty good congregation. They're doing pretty good. That's right. They was. We go to another one, what do you think about that? And he said, man, they got trouble. They got trouble. We go to another one, he said, they don't have much time. I don't want to tell you, one person may be what tips the scales. And if 4 or 5 people get busy, that'll make a huge difference. What time is it? Is it the time of departure? Paul said that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Do you feel that way? Would you feel that way if you lived in a nursing home? You might. Y'all know this guy? Some of you do. That's Coy Potter. I worked with him one time. I've been doing this work 20 years. I worked with him one time on one trip, Hugo, Oklahoma. We went door knocking together. It was the only time I ever was around the guy or worked with the guy. But I'll tell you what, as he got older, he ended up in that nursing home. And you'd kind of think, well, it's just, here we are. Just like Paul. And I've worked all these years, and you know what he did? Sitting in the nursing home, he started preaching to the nurses. And he baptized one of the nurses in the nursing home. You gotta love that. He hadn't even quit in him. He didn't quit. He didn't say, well, it's past my time. He had a brain and he had a tongue and he kept doing what he could do. That's using the time. Nobody would have looked down on him and said, well, take it easy. The truth is, it's time for you to do everything you can for God's kingdom. And you're going to be blessed by doing that. And the other people around you will be blessed. This congregation will be blessed. Every person makes a difference. And it only takes a little bit to tip the scale. That's the truth. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. What time is it?